ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नारं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीराय नास्तप्रेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवाय भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। So we're reading today from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 14, text 29. I better glasses on. So this is a very, very long prose, so I'll just chant it's like about six or seven big lines. Karachidishvarasya Bhagavato Vishnu's Chakrat Paramanadiyasvi Parda Pavarga Kalopalakshanat Parivartitena Vyasaramasa Harata Brahmatrina Sambinam Utanam Animishato Mishatam Vitrasta Vidayastam Evesh Param Kalakchakra Nisha Yudham Sakshad Bhagavat Vantam Yagya Purusham Anadritya Pakanda Devata Kanka Gridha Bhagavata Parpraya Ayasamaya Parivrita Sankhetya Enabhi Yante. Since there's so many words, I'll just read the translation of the verse, which is quite long in itself. Translation and then the purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: the personal weapon used by Lord Krishna, the disc, is called Hari Chakra. This chakra is the wheel of time. It expands from the beginning of the atoms up to the time of Brahma's death, and it controls all activities. Time is always revolving and spending the lives of the living entities, from Lord Brahma down to the insignificant blade of grass. Thus one changes from infancy to childhood to youth and maturity, and thus one approaches the end of life. It is impossible to check this wheel of time. This wheel is very exacting because it is the personal weapon of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes a conditioned soul, fearing the approach of death, wants to worship someone who can save him from imminent danger. Yet he does not care for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose weapon is the indefatigable time factor. The conditioned soul instead takes shelter of a man-made God, described in unauthorized scriptures. Such gods are like buzzards, vultures, herons, and crows. Vedic scriptures do not refer to them. Imminent death is like the attack of a lion, and neither the vultures, buzzards, crows, nor herons can save one from such an attack. One who takes shelter of unauthorized man-made gods cannot be saved from the clutches of death. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. It is stated, Harim vina mritim na taranti. No one can save himself from the cruel hands of death without being favored by Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavad Gita is stated, Mameva ye prapadyante mayam itam taranti te. Whoever fully surrenders unto Krishna can be saved from the cruel hands of material nature. The conditioned soul, however, sometimes wants to take shelter of a demigod, man-made god, pseudo-incarnation, or bogus swami or yogi. All these cheaters claim to follow religious principles, and all this has become very popular in this age of Kali. There are many Pashandis who, without referring to the Shastras, pose themselves as incarnations, and foolish people follow them. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has left behind him Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, not referring to these authorized scriptures. Rascals take shelter of man-made scriptures and try to compete with Lord Krishna. That is the greatest difficulty one encounters when trying to promote spiritual consciousness in human society. This Krishna conscious movement is trying its best to bring people back to Krishna consciousness in its pure form. But the Pashandis and atheists, who are cheaters, are so numerous that sometimes you become perplexed and wonder how to push this movement forward. In any case, we cannot accept the unauthorized ways of so-called incarnations, gods, cheaters, and bluffers, who are described here as crows, vultures, buzzards, and herons. Om Anjana Timanandasya Ginanjana Shalakaya Chakshumitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Taitanya Manobhistam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayamupagadam Ayam Dadati Swapadantikam Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarne Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Srivashadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So it's a long verse. We'll read it again, but basically it's about time, which is described as Hari Chakra. Chakra is a wheel, but it's actually one of the weapons of Krishna. In the West, they have this saying, the wheel of time. But in India, it's a little more detail. That wheel has sharp blades, and it spins. And Krishna kills many demons with it. But this time factor, Kala, it affects us all. As the verse is saying, it affects everyone from Lord Brahma down to a blade of grass. Whether you're a devotee or non-devotee, we're all influenced by time on at least some level. At least on the bodily level. Now, in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada mentions that four things are eternal and one thing is not eternal. One of those four things that is eternal is time. Of course, Krishna is eternal, Ishvara, the jiva or living entity is eternal. Material nature in one form or another is eternal, and kala or time is eternal. Only karma can be seen as not eternal. So, of course, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Kalasmi Lokashayakrit, time I am, the destroyer of all the worlds. Actually, when one of the first atom bombs was being tested in America in the desert, I believe it was Robert Oppenheimer, a great scientist, saw the tremendous destruction of this atom bomb, and he quoted this verse from Bhagavad Gita, time I am destroyer of the worlds. So, with time comes certain anxiety. In material consciousness, we're very much affected by time. I remember before I was a devotee, if you work at a regular job in the material world, when you see Monday, the beginning of the week, and Friday, the end of the week, you don't see them equally. People usually have had a great weekend or tried to have a good weekend of material enjoyment or relaxation, and they have to get up early on Monday morning and go to work. But on Friday, they're looking forward to getting off work, so they don't really like what they are doing. And they're very much influenced by time. They can't be equipoised. I remember that consciousness, and then the difference in visiting a temple, I decided to experiment and stay in a temple for 1 month in Dallas, Texas, in America. And just there, it's not like, who cares if it's Monday or Friday or the end of the month. As Prabhupada said, every day can be a festival in Krishna consciousness. In the spiritual world, time is conspicuous by its absence. Even in Vrindavan, time has a different influence. Described that when the universe dissolves, Vrindavan will somehow be protected. And even though there may be certain external things which seem to have influenced Vrindavan, like some materialistic person builds a big high-rise apartment building to make a lot of money, that's on one level, but on another level, the eternal Vrindavan is still existing. Some idiot, some fool cannot destroy that Vrindavan. So, in spiritual life, time is different. But in the material world, time is very, very unrelenting. Mrityu sarva harascham. Krishna says in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that he is Mrityu, he is death. He is sarva haras, he's going to destroy everything. So time is very a tough taskmaster. But there's actually a benefit to time. Like, if we use time properly, time can be our friend. There's an English poet who said something like, I wasted time, so time wasted me. So you know, we've all experienced days when we space out and sleep more than we need to, or eat too much, or get diverted from anything that's useful for Krishna consciousness. So sometimes we don't use time so well, and other times we feel like we're clicking on all cylinders. We get up early, we're chanting nice rounds, we're reading, we're, you know, doing some service. Then, in that case, time is our friend. But this chapter is entitled The Forest of Material Enjoyment. So people come into the forest of this material world thinking that they're going to use their time not for self-realization, for enjoyment, material enjoyment. So it's like in the Christian Bible, there's a story of a young man who leaves his rich parents, called the prodigal son. He has a pretty good situation, but he wants to try it on his own. He wants to be a rugged individualist and try to, in one sense, carve out his own destiny as the Ishvara, the Ahambhogi, Siddham. He feels like he's perfect. Why does he need his parents? He'll go off on his own. So this is the, not just a story in one scripture, but it's a story for innumerable living entities who exhibit their independence by trying to experience the force of material enjoyment separate from Krishna. So the Bhagavad Gita mentions Mamai Vamso Jivaloke Jivabhuta Sanatana Prakriti Stani Karshati. I mean, Manashastani Indriyani Prakriti Stani Karshati. So although we're Satchitananda, we're eternal, full of knowledge and bliss, we're small sparks. We're Krishna says, Mamai Vamsho, we're Amshas, we're parts of Krishna, like little sparks that go, that you misuse our time and start to burn out. We have this phrase in the West, I'm burned out, I'm fading out. So when we go away from our real calling in life, our dharma, we experience anxiety. So what do people in the material world do with time? So sometimes people use the phrase, I'm going to kill some time. A very kind of offensive idea. If we... What's that?
And not too successful, time's killing them.
Right. Maharaj says that people want to kill time, but time kills them. They want to waste time, but time wastes them. So people are trying to use every minute in the material world for sense enjoyment, either subtle or gross. And it's a losing battle, but you have to hand it to mankind for doing some pretty ambitious ways of trying to enjoy the material world. So one kind of very futile way is in the West, and probably to some degree in India, they have this cosmetic surgery where people try to, their face starts to get wrinkled with time, and so then they go to some surgeon who tightens their face, you know, pulls the skin and then sews it and puts them to sleep. And Shishi Gornatai, Shishi Krishna Balaram, Shishi Radhashama Sundar Ki. They go to some surgeon, and even though their face is getting old, they get they call it a facelift. I don't know why they call it that, but it stretches the skin, so they look a little younger, but it's kind of weird. They're limping around, but they got a 40-year-old person's face on a 70-year-old body. They have a different persona, a material persona, from their real self. Or some ladies, their breasts start to sag, so they get a implant, some kind of thing that makes their breasts look better. So they try to defeat time in that way. Or some of the verses in this chapter have discussed the power of money in the material world, how money is the honey, and people use money to pay for the such things. And one rich man, Prabhupada told the story of one rich man that once went to a great doctor in India and said, I need a couple more years, I'll give you so much money. But the doctor said, your time has come, your money is not going to save you now. Why did you waste so much time? You could have fulfilled your goals. So money cannot ultimately defeat time, but it can help in a superficial way. Like if I want to go from here to London, I can hitchhike, which if I have no money, it'll take a lot longer. I think today is the Vyasa Puja day in some places that they're celebrating for His Holiness Radhanath Swami. So Radhanath Swami took 6 months to go from London to India, and he had many adventures along the way. But because he had no money, he depended on so many other ways, and it was very slow. If you got money, you can go somewhere faster. So money can influence time on a superficial level, but money cannot ultimately overcome time. So people are using time, I mean money and time, sometimes they just try to forget time, so they turn to intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, just to forget that time is going to defeat them. But all these things are just kind of an anesthetic. They kind of deaden the existential reality. So people try to forget what the really reality is. There was kind of a humorous audio tape made in, I think, in the 70s or 80, early 80s probably. It was called Reality Tours. Did anyone here remember that? Remember that, Marsh? It was kind of a funny story. This couple who came to Hollywood, they were probably from another country. They might have even been from India or from Europe. They came to Hollywood. They wanted to get on one tour of Hollywood, see all the big houses and the places where the stars make their footprints, and you know all the fancy restaurants that the movie stars go to. And so there are certain buses that you get on the bus, and it gives you a tour of Hollywood. Of course, they try to show the good side of Hollywood, not the bad side. But this couple got on the wrong bus. They got on the bus, it was called Reality Tours. So they were just some innocent people thinking they're going to see all the nice things of the material world in the form of Hollywood. But they ended up kind of a crude, the driver of the bus was kind of a heavy guy, and he took them to a jail where people were being arrested and fingerprinted, and you know, kind of deadbeats were there, and they started wondering, why are we here? We want to see the good things in Hollywood. And he took them to a hospital where people were dying, and took them to an old age home where people were old, and they said, of course these were all in Hollywood. They said, we're still in Hollywood, but we're seeing all this negative stuff. What's going on? So they went to the leader of the bus, and he said, what is this? We want our money back. We want to get off, we want to stop the tour. He said, you signed up for reality. This is the reality tour, so you're getting the reality. We only have a couple places to stop, so you just hang on and finish the tour. Then he took them to a morgue where dead bodies are, whatever they do to dead bodies. In America, they don't just cremate the body right away. They want to have a funeral where people can see the body. But they put certain chemicals in the body so it looks fairly good. They put makeup. Like Srila Prabhupada said, decoration for a dead body. They decorate that dead body. And sometimes they cut up part of the body to put in the chemicals, and they do some weird things. So this nice couple were getting a dose of reality that they didn't want. So this is the reality. They wanted to forget the material reality. Like Buddha's story of Buddha was that his parents were aristocratic. I believe he was a prince, and his parents heard a prediction that Buddha will become a renunciate. He'll give up the material life. So they tried to prevent him from seeing the reality, the harsh side of material life. So apparently for some years, Buddha lived this kind of a sheltered life. And he didn't see the effect of time so much. They kept young and beautiful people around him and sensual pleasures. But then one day his parents were gone, and I don't know the exact story, but they took him to see outside the palace area. He saw a sick person who had some kind of, maybe a leper who had, you know, spots, and he said, "What is that?" He said, "Well, that's a disease. Everybody will get a disease at some point or other." Then he saw an old person who was hunched over and with time. "What is that? That's an old person. Well, everybody will get old, even me, yeah. Even my parents, they seem like they're getting a little like that already, yeah. Everybody will get old." Then he saw a corpse being carried to the river for the cremation. Then he got a reality tour. So we try to go on a fantasy tour. We try to enjoy insignificant material things and make them into something they're not, just like little children play with toys. But there's a certain point where we're supposed to overcome that. One time I was at a university in America, and this student newspaper, that was an article about a certain kind of watch. I don't think this watch really took off as a product, a successful commercial product. But there was a certain watch. It was called the personal life watch, I believe. And like, if you were born in America and you were 40 years old, there's some average life expectancy, like 82 years old or something. So you would type in, come out, you'd program into the watch certain information so that it would give the time, but another little dial would show you that you have 42 years left. 42 years, 3 days, and so many hours and seconds. And that would be getting less and less. And this student heard about this watch and wrote an article about the watch and said, "I don't want to buy such a watch. I don't want to be reminded that I'm going to die. I don't want to be reminded that I have 42 years, then 41, then 40, then 39. I want to enjoy." So this student wanted to forget reality. Like there's an animal, the ostrich, which I think is more common to Africa. It's a big bird. And somehow when it gets chased by a lion, sometimes they are said to, they get afraid, and maybe the lion can run faster, so the bird will find some dust or soft sand and put his head under the sand. The bird is trying to be protected from the lion of time, the lion of death, and he takes a very superficial measure, trying to stick his head under the sand. So all the material approaches to time are futile, like this kind of big bird putting his head in the dust. Of course, in Vrindavan, we want to put our head in the dust of the Vrajraj, the dust of Vrindavan. If a lion is chasing us, we throw our head in the Vrajraj. Even if the lion eats us, we'll go back to Godhead. Or if we eat some prasadam and get eaten by a lion, there's a story in the Narad Pancharatra that a tiger, some Brahmins and his son were traveling, and they found some old, rotten prasadam on the ground. And the little son was curious, so he ate a little of it. I think his father said, "No, that's not very good prasadam," but he ate it anyway. And then a lion ate the son, and the son went back to Godhead, and the lion went back to Godhead because the lion ate prasadam, because prasadam was in the belly of the son. So anything we do in Krishna consciousness actually helps defeat time. So there is a nice verse later in this canto 5 which discusses the activities of Dhruva Maharaj. It describes how, I'll read the verse, established by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the pole star Dhruva Loka constantly shines as a central pivot for all the stars and planets. The unsleeping, invisible, most powerful time factor caused these luminaries to revolve around the pole star. So the luminaries, the planets and stars are kind of like going around the pole star, like it's almost like a parikram. And Dhruva Maharaj is there. And in the purport to that verse, Srila Prabhupada said, everyone is under the influence of the time factor, but Supreme Personality of Godhead is so kind and loves his devotees and loves his devotee Dhruva so much that he has arranged for the time factor to work under him and his or with his cooperation. So for a devotee, time becomes a friend. We have the story of Srila Prabhupada, who had a heart attack on the east coast of America, and the devotees would all around the world were praying for Prabhupada, and devotees were starting to chant, I believe, the Nrisimhadev prayers. And Prabhupada was saying that if Krishna so desires, may he let me live longer. So Krishna, Prabhupada just wanted to, he didn't want to fight time, he wanted to do whatever Krishna desires. Because the way that time unfolds is ultimately Krishna's arrangement. So Prabhupada, of course, in one sense, Prabhupada's mission was never done enough. He did so much in his short time here, and every minute he was on the planet was helping the devotees and the spread of Krishna consciousness so much. The devotees prayed to Krishna, please let Prabhupada live, stay longer. And then Prabhupada came out of the worst part of his, I guess he had a stroke, heart attack, whatever. So Prabhupada came through a very tough spot, and then it seemed like his health was getting better. He said that I was supposed to die, but Krishna extended my time. So for devotees, Krishna, time is elastic. Just like even in the Holy Dham, time is a little bit elastic. The space is elastic. In the Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma says, Karmani Nirdati Kintu Chabakti Bhajam, that karma, Krishna can change our karma. And then when our karma changes, the influence of time changes. Of course, generally, Krishna allows us to get enough karma back to teach us various lessons. But it's different from normal karma. Devotee situation is like the famous analogy of the cat and the cat that carries the kitten, the cat that carries the rat. So the rat feels very great fear because any moment those teeth of the cat are going to go right into his body, rip him to pieces. And the little kitten is feeling, oh yeah, my mother's taking me somewhere. So for us as devotees, we shouldn't worry about time too much. In the Western world, through the allopathic medicine, they think that that old age, disease, and death are defeat. Or if you get old and die, that's a defeat. We've lost the battle. In Ayurveda, it says that, you know, everybody has a certain amount of time. Getting old and dying is natural. Remember God, you can get out of the cycle. So we shouldn't worry about time too much. But on the other hand, it's a paradox, but Srila Prabhupada was very conscious of time. He felt a great sense of urgency. So we should actually feel a great sense of urgency at the same time, which is a chincha beta beta concept, I guess, but like, I know that, well, I know one devotee that grew up in Gujarat, and he had an orchard with about, I think he said about 9 types of mangoes. So he loved these mangoes, and then he moved to America. And if whenever he would visit India, he would try to time it so they could come during the mango season. So he organized his time around mangoes, whereas Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave up mangoes. He organized his time completely around serving Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada felt the sense of urgency so much, the famous story of printing the Chaitanya Charitamrita, so many volumes in just a few months. A great miracle. It's like, I can't conceive of it. It proves that for devotees, time is elastic. Like Prabhupada's amazing desire and devotees' amazing surrender. What was it? How many books? Huh? 17 volumes in how many months? 2 months? So it's incredible. Even now, today, that was before they had the same kind of computers and software that we have now. But the devotees printed 17 books in 2 months. Not just books, but they did the art, beautiful paintings, layout, printing, putting the transcript diacritics. It's like a miracle. So it's a great victory of Krishna consciousness over time. And one Christian saint said an interesting thing, is that Saint Anselm of Canterbury said, nothing is as certain as death, and nothing as uncertain as the hour of death. So I had a god sister that came to Vrindavan. She was given just a few months to live by the Western doctors. So she came to leave her body in Vrindavan. And when she got here, she was living on intravenous tubes for many years in America before she even came to Vrindavan. So she shipped all these tubes of liquid food. She wouldn't eat anything for years. She would just, at night when she was sleeping, there was a thing going into her body, and the nutrition would go into her bloodstream. But the problem is that because it's going into her blood, this thing could get infected. And she almost died 3 or 4 times in America. She was from Dallas. So as she's coming to India, she flew through Malaysia. She got a fever of 105 degrees. She just wanted to die in Vrindavan, so she was hoping they could make it. When she got to Vrindavan, she was shaking. She was 105 degrees. And she got over that, but they gave her just a few months to live. And then someone said, why are you using all these big bottles of Western, you know? Vrindavan is for simple living and high thinking. You know, you see the beautiful peacocks and the cows, and, you know, why do you have to have all these tubes in your body? And, you know, several devotees were saying like that, even though they loved her and wanted, but they thought, just, you've come to Vrindavan, leave your body. So on Janmashtami that year, she came just a few weeks before Janmashtami, she decided to take out the tubes, the catheter. She went to a hospital in Vrindavan, I think the Ramakrishna Hospital. The power went out when they were taking the tubes out, but anyway, she took the tubes out, and she chanted 64 rounds or more on Janmashtami. It started to feel really blissful. She started to think, I don't feel like I'm dying. And then on Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja day, she felt a little bit hungry. She had lost 80% of her stomach and intestines by different surgeries. She was a surgical nurse, so one of the perks of the job, she got free surgeries. So she had so many surgeries that she lost her ability to digest, basically, so that's why she had to live on these chemicals from tubes. But she felt a little hungry, so she got some maha dal and maha lassi or something from the Prabhupada's offering. She felt a little strength. So the doctors gave her 3 months to live when she left. That's with the tubes and all that. And one Philippine devotee was supposed to take care of her. And my Guru Maharaj said, she's going to live just a few months. Don't worry, it won't be so long. So anyway, she started to take like dal and juice and things like that. She ended up living another 8 years. And at first she could hardly walk. She felt like, this must be Radharani taking care of me. And one devotee from Dallas, Chaitanya Chandradas Prabhu, came with her. So he was helping her for about a month when she first came. He said every night he would go before the deities of Radharashyama Sundar during the first few days she was here. And he said every night that Pujari would just come and give him the garland of Radharani. Then he would give it to her. She felt like that Radharani was extending her life. And at first she could hardly walk to the temple. She was staying in the guest house here. Walking to the temple was quite difficult. After about a year, there was a big, the Govardhan Parikram on the full moon day of Kartik, when everyone goes at 8 or 9 at night, and they, it's a very nice. So the lady that was taking care of her said, I'm going to go on the Parikram tonight, so I won't be here tonight, but you take care of yourself. So she left about 8:30 at night for the Parikram, but she cooked some prasadam at about 4 o'clock for my god sister, but the god sister wasn't around to take the prasadam. So what actually happened is at 4 o'clock, this devotee that was supposed to be dying decided to go on the Parikram at 4 o'clock, starting 5 or 6 hours before all the other devotees. So she went on the Parikram and she was able to finish it, in maybe 10 or 12 hours, a really long time. Then after a few years later, she was going in 4.5 hours and she was giving tours to younger devotees that couldn't keep up with her. And she worked in the dispensary here. So she thought she knew what time was going to do with her, but for a devotee, time is inconceivable, and time can be a friend. And speaking of time, I don't know what.
Speaking of time.
Put on my other glasses. So there's just a little time if anybody has any comments or questions. Yes, Maharaj. So Maharaj is sharing a kind of wise statement. If you want to get something done, give the task to a person that's really busy because he has time to do it. So can you explain why that is so? So Maharaj says, if you give it to a lazy person, your task, he will say, I don't have time. And of course, we know that Prabhupada often told the story of where the devotee says, chant, 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 and the guy says, can't, can't, can't. Please read this Gita Jayanti. Please take a Gita, read this. Don't have time. So, what's that? Whenever you have time, chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Any other points or questions? Yes, Maharaji. You only stop eating ripe mangoes? Really? I didn't know that. So the Mataji pointed out that His Holiness Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur stopped eating ripe mangoes. That means he took green mangoes?
Mango, pickle, mango, chutney.
Okay, but that's like a... The point is he gave up. He felt a great sense of vairagya, of detachment. I was going to say that in the material world, people try to enjoy the little bit of material time they have, and one of the things they, in America, they have this drug called Viagra, which makes somebody can enjoy sex longer in their life, which burns them out even more. So instead of developing vairagya, they go for Viagra. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he had vairagya, he was detached from this material world. And a sign of that is he gave up the most tasty ripe mango because he actually felt he was making an offense, and it was a very innocent mistake. But that attitude, he didn't want to enjoy the material thing, he wanted to use it for Krishna. But that is the best use of time. Any other points? Thank you very much. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki.